This evening we're going to take up the topic of fear, the problem of fear. What is fear? Well, that's a good definition. We've had that one before, haven't we? False evidence appearing real. Okay, anxiety. Now sometimes it's hard to describe or define an emotion, isn't it? I mean, it's more felt sometimes than able to be described. It's just a physical aspect to it. Has anybody not ever experienced fear? No, God has made all of us with the capacity for fear, and it's in its proper place is what is good to keep us from doing things that would take our life. You know, we should fear running out into the street because a car could kill us, that kind of thing. And yet it is such a problem for us. Webster says it's an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by the anticipation or awareness of danger, anxious concern, or a reason for alarm. So we see there it's emotion, there's certain mental element to it in that it's an anticipation or an awareness of danger. Erdman's Bible Dictionary says it's a various degrees of anxious dread or terror generally experienced in the face of danger or the suspicion thereof. So do we have any similarities in those two definitions? What's that? Anxious. Okay. Danger. Okay, there's a suspicion of harm as well as the anticipation. Okay, so that's you're ahead of the event. Holman's Illustrated Bible Dictionary says it's a natural emotional response to a perceived threat to one's security or general welfare. It ranges in degree of intensity from a sense of anxiety or worry to one of utter terror. It can be useful emotion when it leads to an appropriate action or caution or measures that would guard one's welfare. On the other hand, fear can be a hindrance to the enjoyment of life if it is induced by delusion or if it lingers and overpowers other more positive emotions such as love and joy, perhaps leading to an inability to engage in the normal activities of life. So we much longer definition there, introductory thought there, demonstrating that fear can become paralyzing. It keeps us from doing the things that should be normal. It keeps us from doing things that would be beneficial. And so, in that way, it's very harmful to us. Fear, we would think, would be a reasonable aspect of life. Everybody experiences fear to some degree. We would think that it's probably very common. Can you think of Bible characters who experienced fear?
Yeah, and I think when he was arguing with God at the burning bush, he really didn't want to do what God was asking him to do, and I think there is a real element of fear there. Why would I want to go back and face Pharaoh? Jonah didn't want to do what God wanted. Was there some fear there? There very well could be, because he was going to one of the most atrocious nations. That they were just extremely violent people. And so, yeah, he may have been struggling with some fear, as well as prejudice and hatred and stuff. Esther, definitely, we just got done talking about what she had to do. Okay, there's a kind of a different take. They had a fear of God after they had sinned. They hid themselves. Good. David? Okay.
Yeah, the maybe even getting ahead of the emotional reaction a little bit by coming that way. Anytime an angel appeared, fear not. Mary anticipating what was going to be happening to her. Joseph also, don't be afraid to take Mary as your spouse. Right. And I've kind of debated that too as I was preparing this. In fact, another that I read, and I probably put it in here, says the only, it was never said that Jesus was afraid. And yet we do see that there was at least a physical response to the approach of suffering and death. Yep. Yeah. So we see many godly individuals throughout the Word of God experienced fear. And some of them, it was not a paralyzing fear, like Daniel in the lion's den, but then there was like Peter in the water, and it was a crisis point, because it's like, I'm going to drown right now. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 5, okay, outside were conflicts, inside were fears. If there was anybody that had a reasonable fear, wouldn't it be Paul? I mean, look at his testimony. You know, he's been shipwrecked, he's been stoned, he's been beaten multiple times, and he has gone through a tremendous ordeal before he came to Corinth. And as he was ministering here, he was ministering in fear. And God spoke to him and encouraged him that he had many people in this place. Job chapter 3 and verse 25. Okay. He is recognizing that he had been living in the fear of this, that something bad was going to happen. The things which he had feared about his children, his welfare, his health, whatever it was, now it's come to pass. And so it's something that had been a part of his life. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, we are likened to sheep, and sheep are defenseless. There's really nothing they can do to keep themselves from getting eaten by the wolf and the bear. They have to have a shepherd in order to guard over them and watch and make sure that their enemies are driven back. They have to be cared for constantly. They are timid creatures. You can look at Psalm 23, and I always think back to the study we've done on that in the past, and how a sheep will not drink from moving water. It's a timid creature. It's afraid. And the shepherd has to make sure and cause them to lie down in green pastures where there is a sense of security and safety and well-being and supply. And the shepherd leads them through the valley of the shadow of death. Fear is a chief characteristic of the sheep. And yet, Jesus tells us we're not to fear, even though he calls us his little flock. Isaiah 41, verse 14. Okay, and so what does God call his people Israel? A worm. After we got done with the roof over at the holidays, I picked up the pallet the shingles had been on to throw it away, and underneath there was all kinds of grubs. And they're just worthless, helpless things, right? I mean, if I wanted to kill them, I could have killed every one of them. They wouldn't have run away. They couldn't have dug fast enough to get away. They were just absolutely helpless. And they were doing nothing. And we have to realize that the real reality is that we're absolutely helpless. And it's really a fiction of our thinking that we are secure, that we are capable, that we are able to provide security for ourselves. There's really nothing that we can do. It is that we're powerless in terms of the players in the game, right? Well,
If God wants to take us out, is there anything you're going to do to stop him? There isn't. He is all powerful. Well, let's look at the other side as well. Satan. Are you able to defeat Satan? He is a mighty angel, a spirit being. He is much more powerful than we are. We have no defenses against our enemy in the natural sense. We are secure only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Yep, there I put it in. It is never said that Jesus was afraid. If God tells you not to do something and you do it, what is that called? Huh? Stupidity. Disobedience. There's a little three-letter word, sin. And we have to realize that there is a point when fear misapplied is sinful. And God tells us over 365 times, don't be afraid. And yet, we have words like anxiety and worry and fear that are a normal part of our life. And so we need to realize that there is a personal responsibility to this. That God has said, don't be afraid. And if I am choosing to walk in fear, then I'm being disobedient to God. I am walking in sin. 2 Timothy 1:7 and Romans 8:15. It is not the will of God that his child should live in fear and terror. Even if it was like Paul, who you would think would have a rational reason. You know, bad things have happened, and therefore I would fear that more bad things would happen. But that's not to be the spirit of the believer. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. We have been brought into a relationship which we call God our Father. And it's a tender word. It's not just reverent word. It's that tender daddy, that close relationship. Fear can be very harmful. It can cause physical health problems. Can you think of any physical health problems that come about by living in fear? He worried himself sick, huh? High blood pressure, indigestion, ulcers. And the list really goes on. And doctors would be able to speak more to that than I could. But there's a real connection between living in anxiety, worry, and fear and our physical health. Fear will keep you from living and enjoying life that God has given to you. He's given us all things for life and godliness. He's given us these things to enjoy. He has placed us here with purpose, and he wants us to be joyful. And you can't be living a joy-filled life if you're walking in worry and fear. So you miss out on God's best. It can keep you from being successful. Life takes risks. This week I was up on the ladder putting up gutter coverings. And there's a spot where the electric line came in and the telephone line came in, and there was only a few feet in there, and I've got this great big aluminum ladder, and I've got these aluminum pieces of stuff I'm putting up on the gutters. I'm trying to wiggle my way up between these wires. The job has to get done. I can't just sit there and be afraid. It keeps you from being successful. It can keep you from dealing with other sins in your life. It keeps you from getting help when you need it. It can create undue pressures in relationships. If you are not able to function in enjoying life, then the people that you're with, you're hampering their ability to function and enjoy life. And it brings stress, and it brings broken relationships. And eventually that sets you into isolation. And that's another problem, and it just keeps growing. It can lead to a disordered life. Your fears lead to a failure to perform your responsibilities. People get to the place they can't go to the grocery store. They can't get out and go to the bank because they're full of fears. There's a lion in the street. Well, there isn't a lion in the street right now, but there very well could be a lion in the street sometime, and it might be when I go out, there could be a lion in the street. And so we begin to shut down. And when we don't do something we know we're responsible for, then we feel bad about ourselves. And then we fail to do other things because we just don't feel good. We're depressed and discouraged, and so we're not getting up and getting our responsibilities done. And these things have a way of snowballing. It can lead to depression and even suicide. You will never experience God's best for your life if you are controlled by fear. There's certain irrationality to fear, and it's an insult to God. The majority of our fears are creations of our own misguided meditations. This goes back to Clark's definition of fear: false evidence appearing real. We've managed to think about the possibilities of evil so much that we've talked ourselves into being afraid. We have meditated on the potentials rather than on the realities. Yes, there is evil in the world. Bad things happen. Bad things can happen. But as we sit there and we constantly meditate on all of the possibilities of the bad things that could happen to us, we're making ourselves sick and bad things are happening to us. But the reality is that almost all of our fears never come to pass, at least not in the way that we had thought that they could. We really can't properly imagine the danger that is ultimately going to come into our life. You worry about a car accident, you could get cancer. You worry about a brain aneurysm, you can have a total heart attack. You know, you worry about falling off a ladder, I get shot when you're out hunting. I mean, you cannot possibly cover the reality. You don't know what evil is going to come into your life. But you can ruin a lot of your life by meditating on all of the possible evils, and they never come to be. Fear is a denial of God's valuation. Matthew chapter 10, verse 31, and Luke chapter 12, and verse 7. When we walk in fear, we're disagreeing with God's valuation. God says that He loves me, He cares for me, that I am valuable to Him, and that He's going to take care of me because I am valuable to Him. But if I'm walking in fear, I'm saying I'm not valuable enough to God for God to care enough to take care of me. There's reasons why we may think that way, but they're false. They're untrue. If God so loved me that He sent His own Son to die on the cross for my sin, what else wouldn't He give me? If He's promised that I am more valuable and He's going to take care of and meet my needs and protect me, then to say that He isn't going to do that is to say that I'm not that valuable to God. Fear is a denial of our faith or an absence of faith. Matthew 8, verse 26. Fear and faith are in opposite relationship to each other here. Jesus puts it in that context. Oh, you of little faith. If we're going to say that I'm a Christian, that I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save me from my sin, to rescue me from eternal judgment and damnation, and take me into heaven, and that I'm willing to believe that, but I don't believe that He's sufficient to take care of me now, today, in what I have to do, it doesn't work. You're saying two opposite things. Fear is a denial of God's presence. Genesis 26 and verse 24. Several times God speaks to His servants and says, "Don't fear, I am with you." Do we have a promise like that? "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we have His presence. And to walk in fear is to say that God isn't with me. Fear is the denial of God's goodness. Psalm 145, verse 9, and Hebrews 2:16. He is good to all. If I'm walking in fear, I'm saying God isn't good to me. Hebrews 2:16. Okay, he gives aid to the seed of Abraham. And we are the children of Abraham by faith. God has promised to give us aid, to give us help. So fear is a denial of God's promises. Isaiah 41:10. Okay. He has promised to make us his care. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And to walk in fear is to say God doesn't care. God doesn't care to give me the things that I need. He doesn't care to give me the protection that I need. He doesn't care enough to carry me through the difficulties of life. Fear is a denial of God's sovereignty. Mark chapter 4 and verse 39. We have an illustration there of Jesus being sovereign over his entire creation. He speaks to the wind and it obeys. Do we not think that he could speak to the situations of our life? That he's not able to give us safety and security and peace, to bring solutions to problems, to meet needs? One word from his mouth would open up the treasuries of heaven. Fear is an inversion of real danger. Luke chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5. I don't know that I maybe worded that very well, but I think you'll see what I'm saying here. Luke 12, 4 and 5. That's not right. Okay. We have the fear of man or the fear of God. When we fear man, we're placing man ahead of God. We're saying man is more powerful. Man accomplishes what man wants to accomplish. Man is able to outmaneuver God. We place our fear in the wrong place. And we should fear God, not man. Because ultimately, God not only can take the life, but he can also condemn the soul. One of the reasons we have a lot of difficulty with fear is because sin enhances fear. Psalm 53, verse 5. Okay. So in verse 4, it talks about the workers of iniquity, they eat up his people, they don't call upon God. And then it says that they are in great fear where no fear was. Why? Because of their sinfulness. If they would have gone about life following after truth and God's law, they could have lived in peace. But rather, they pursued wickedness and peace was removed from their life. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. The wicked flee when no one pursues. Guilty conscience. We know that we violated God's commands, and we know that there is an expectation of judgment. And even as believers, even though we know our sins ultimately are forgiven, it breaks our fellowship with God, and we don't have confidence that we would have God's favor and God's blessing upon our life, and so we begin to anticipate evil rather than anticipating God's blessing. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. When we sin, we have an expectation of judgment. If we have failed our duty, we leave ourselves open to criticism and judgment. If we have sinned, we cannot anticipate blessing. Proverbs 1, verse 33, wisdom leads to peace. Okay, the listening to me takes us back to verse 20 where it says, wisdom calls aloud outside, she raises her voice in the open squares. So wisdom, whoever listens to wisdom will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Those two things are related. Fear will lead us to an unsound mind. And here we see that relationship again, that there's safety, security, and no fear of evil. Love conquers fear. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. Okay, he begins in verse 17 making a relationship to the judgment seat. We do not have to live in fear of the judgment seat. But then he makes more general statements there. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. If we don't want to live in fear, we need to be practicing love. And just look at the contrast between the two. Love gives. Love puts itself out. Love asks, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? Fear is all about what's going to happen to me. It's self-centered. It's looking to protect self. Love suffers. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He was willing to suffer. He was not paralyzed in fear. Fear will keep us protecting ourselves and not serving. Love thinks no evil. Fear meditates on evil. Love labors. Fear stews. Fear is hamstrung. It can't labor. It can't serve. Love produces more love. Fear generates more fear. Love draws a crowd. It broadens our relationships and our fellowship. Fear isolates. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. Fear acts as a barometer of our love for God and man. If I am afraid and I have a sense of pending judgment, the absence of God's blessing, there's something wrong in my relationship with God. It's because of the sin in my life. It may be immaturity in my understanding of who God is and how much He cares for me. There's a brokenness of relationship. I don't love Him. I'm afraid of Him. The same is true in our relationship with other people. If I'm afraid to be around somebody, then there's an absence of love in that relationship. I'm not ready to serve them. Now, we've seen many believers that have been able to endure great atrocities with great peace. They're able to serve their captors rather than live in fear. It's possible, but we've got to focus our minds in the right place. What are we meditating on?